This morning, I'm going to be speaking on the Holy Spirit. Go figure, right? So we have been in this whole series called Unshakable. And I'm preaching this message because of this whole series, because as believers, our foundation should be based and founded upon God, upon His Word, upon what He has said, upon His Spirit. The decision that we made as believers is the cornerstone of our lives. Meaning that no matter what life brings to us, we may be shook sometimes, but we're not shaken off of our foundation. In California last week, they had a 6.5 earthquake, I believe, and there was one particular small town that had the houses shaken 6 feet off of their foundation. And so as believers, sometimes we can feel those trembles and those earthquakes in our own life, and we can have the darkest of days and the darkest of nights and the darkest of years. How many of you guys have had some dark years? I'm going to raise my hand. But the thing is that the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, puts us on solid ground every single time. Every time that a situation comes up in your life, you do not have to have your foundations completely destroyed. That our foundation is founded upon the Word of God. And so I see a great need in the body of Christ across the board that to preach the Word of God in such a way that it reminds us that our foundation is not upon what man built, but upon what God has built and established in His Word. And some of the things that we have talked about is, in order to have an unshakable life, is to realize that the church, that you are a part of the church, that you are not just a quote-unquote butt-in-seat person. You're not just filling up a space, but that you have a specific place to serve. You have specific giftings and talents that God wants to use to bless the body of Christ. We don't think that way. We don't think that what God has given me can bless somebody else. That my life, my experiences, my pain, my shortcomings, those things that I have walked through, those things that have been muddled in my life, the word that was given this morning, can be used to bless other people. As long as we see ourselves as a functioning biblical member of the body of Christ. We also talked about that in order to have an unshakable life, that we need to understand that healing is for today. It's for the here and now. Amen? Amen? That when the apostles died out, that didn't mean that God's healing touch went with them. That the Holy Spirit is still here, able to heal, able to deliver, able to set people free, able to speak into our lives on a regular basis. So healing is still for today. And we also need to understand that in order to have an unshakable life, that the Word of God has the last say, that it's still anointed, that it's still prophetic, that it still is the foundation of our lives, that it gives us direction, healing, motivation, correction if we need it. Amen? Amen. And that it is the final authority in my life. It's not the opinion of my wife. It's not the opinion of my spouse. It's not the opinion of my co-workers or my boss or my family or whoever it is. The Word of God is the final authority. Amen. And if we get our word from the Word of God, we will have an unshakable life no matter what comes our way. We also believe that there is only one true God. Now, I know sitting in a house, church room full of churchgoers, that seems like a little redundant. Yes, we know the only one true God. But you would be amazed how many gods we erect in our lives. Right? How many safety nets we put in our lives before we even acknowledge and call upon the name of the Lord to help save us, to deliver us, to set us free. And we set up these little idols in our life, but we believe in the one true God. He is the living and active Word of God. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen. Able to divide between our excuses and our fears, right? I'm preaching good this morning. I ain't even got into my notes yet. Amen. But we need to understand that there is a one true God that we go to. And it's not the opinion of man. It's not our pastor. It's not the elders of our church. It's not any of those things. We need to first go to the one true God that knows us intricately and that knows out the plans that He has for our lives. His plans to prosper us. Man, I got to tell you, that is a hard word when we're hurting. That is a hard word when things are muddled, when they're not clear, when the path is not laid out. That is a hard word. That His plan is for our good and not for our harm. That is a tough word to swallow when we're in the midst of pain. When we're in the midst of having our foundation shaken because of things happening in our lives. But we need to understand that there is only one true God who can deliver and set us free and lead us to the way of righteousness, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And this morning, we are turning our attention to that third person of the Godhead this morning, the Holy Spirit. He is not some tagline at the end of a prayer where we say, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? But that Holy Spirit has a function. Everybody say function. Everything that God does, puts into place, fits in order, has a function. Say it with me. Function. There is not one thing that He has placed in this world, in the heavens, and under the heavens, and under the earth, that does not have a function that gives Him glory and honor and praise. There's not one extra part that He... How many of you guys ever put stuff together, right, and you got extra parts? That's me. That's why sometimes I let Dana do stuff like that, because it ends up in the yard, right? I mentioned... what was that I was trying to put together one time? One of the bike seats for the kids. Yeah, you know, an extra bike seat for the kids, and I was trying to put it together, and I wasn't looking at the directions, and there were extra parts, and it didn't fit to the bike like that, and so I chunked it out in the yard. Don't look at me like that. You chunked your own bike seats out in your yard too, you know. You define what that bike seat looks like. You know what you did. And so God doesn't have extra parts. Right, that He just throws in a corner or puts in a box and puts it in the basement for a rainy day. Everything that He puts in order is for a specific reason. And that is for you to come into the knowledge of who He is and what He is capable of doing in your life. Amen? And so the Holy Spirit is part of this puzzle. And so this third Godhead of the Trinity that we like to call it is there for a reason. Jesus said that I must go in order that the Holy Spirit would come, that one called alongside of you. He said, I would not leave you as orphans and infants, that you would be powerless in this world, but you're going to receive dunamis power. That word comes from, that's how we get our word for dynamite, explosive, powerful. That Holy Spirit that's come alongside of is not there to coddle you and give you a little pat on the back when you're having a pity party. But that Holy Spirit, that dunamis third person of the Godhead, is there to give you strength, to give you power, to give you authority and anointing to get not only to get through this life, but be more than conquerors. Amen? As believers, we don't pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. We rely upon the Holy Spirit and His power and His anointing to come alongside of us to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever think or ask of. Amen? And so in order to get a complete picture of the Holy Spirit, we're going to start in the book of Joel. Joel is a prophet. And he was giving a prophetic word like some of the prophetic words that we received here this morning. And I want to go through that, but before we do, I want to pray. Father, I come before you and I thank you for the word of God this morning. I thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit and that it is alive and well and it still carries with it that dunamis power. And that power is able to be received in the heart of each and every believer in this room this morning with the word come. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask you to come this morning upon each and every heart, mind, soul, and spirit in this place. I ask you to give me the anointing to preach your word today in order to bring life to those that are hearing. In Jesus' name, amen. So Joel chapter 2 in the Old Testament, verse 28 through 29, this is what the word of the Lord spoke through the prophet of Joel, says this, "And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people." Everybody say, all people. "Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days." Can I tell you, we are living in those days right here and right now. There's no end to the book of Acts. I don't know if you've read that or not, but it still carries on the notion that the book of Acts is still in progress right now in the here and now. That we still have the ability to receive the Holy Spirit. Now, if you notice in Joel chapter 2, all right, this is not just some declaration. This is a promise. Now, how many of you guys have ever promised something and you had the best intentions, but you were not able to follow through on that promise? Right? As probably early as this morning or this week or yesterday, like, you know, that's just the way it is. Pastor, quit telling us to raise our hands. But the promise is only good as the promise giver, right? Everybody raise your hands. I'm just kidding. Simply, I mean, you guys remember when you were kids and, you know, you're out on a playground and you're talking and you're like, you're trying to put an emphasis on what you saw or what you experienced and you're embellishing a little bit, right? And everybody's going, "Nuh-uh, you didn't do that." And you go, "Uh-huh, I promise." And everybody's like, "Uh-uh, that wasn't true." And then you're like, "I what?" Let's add an emphasis to it. "I cross my heart, hope to die, what?" That's nuts, right? That's how serious we are on the playground, though. Right? We're willing to experience some kind of pain to tell you I'm telling the truth. Or we go even further than that. If they're still not convinced, we'll go pinky swear, right? How many of you guys ever done the pinky swear? I don't think most boys have done the pinky swear, right? But pinky swear, and if you really want to show how serious you are, in our house, especially, Dana has, I am so sarcastic a lot of the times at the house. And it's hard to pick through the bull and what is true, right? Sometimes, and sometimes I get frustrated because I'm trying to tell the truth and she's trying to figure out if I'm like being facetious or not. And then finally she'll say, "You promised to God?" And if we say that in the house, like it's like this lasso of truth that you got to tell the truth because you invoked God in the scenario. And because I'm a minister and a representative of God, I can't tell a lie. Sort of. No pinky swears. A promise is a promise. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. I've read that somewhere. And so, but here's the thing. When God promises something, he doesn't put an emphasis on it. His word stands alone. So no matter what my circumstance is, his word is always true. Amen? even if what I'm praying for does not come to pass as I want it to, or if it never comes to pass, His word is still true. His goodness and His faithfulness will last beyond me. Amen? His goodness will last beyond your prayer request, beyond your circumstance, and beyond your lifetime. His word will remain true. Thank God that when everything is falling apart, we can go back to His promises, and it will cause our lives to be unshakable. And that is what is happening here with the prophet of Joel. God is speaking through him a word. He said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons, your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. That is a promise. God's never gone back on His word. He has never fell short of fulfilling His promise. In other words, you have to consider the source of the promise, right? You got to consider who's giving the promise. In Luke 24:49, we see Jesus telling the men and women gathered in the upper room. He said this. It should be up there. It is up on the board. He says, I am going to send you what my Father has promised. Who promised it? Say it.
Father.
My Father. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with what? Say it with me.
Power
from on high. Now again in Acts 1, 4 through 5, Jesus gave this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. There that word is again. That my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, meaning repentance. All right? But in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And depending on what translation you have, it will say with the Holy Spirit and fire, right? The Holy Spirit and fire. And just before Jesus ascended into heaven in Acts 1:8, Jesus said this, you will receive, say it with me,
power
when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So the baptism in the Spirit was necessary, essential, before the first disciples were to leave Jerusalem or even begin to fulfill the Great Commission. They needed power, and the very name of the Holy Spirit represents and is connected with, say it with me, power. Amen. One more time. Power. Okay? So that's good, Pastor, for the disciples and making disciples and doing ministry and all of that stuff. But how does that apply to me? You guys ask great questions. So here's the answer, okay? So the gift that was promised is to give you power, but power to do what? Number one, to be His witness. Not to be perfect, not to be flawless, not to be judgmental, not to set yourself up above others, but to be His witness. Jesus commanded them not to leave Jerusalem until they had received the gift His Father promised. That should tell you how important it is that to listen to what the Father has to say and to stay, and that you're going to receive power when that the Holy Spirit comes on you. And the first thing that He said you would do would be His witness. And so first we see the promise of the Holy Spirit by the Father. So let's take a look about, talk about the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, all right? So turn with me to Acts chapter 2, verse 42. So in addition to the power for service through the Holy Spirit to be a witness to the world, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is also a gateway, a mode of worship that blesses other believers as well. And so the baptism of the Holy Spirit isn't this one-time emotional event in your life where you receive some some Holy Ghost goosebumps, right? How many of you guys received that? I have. I received them this morning, right? When the Holy Spirit's moving and just this emotional thing and people receiving a word, healing, and so forth. Man, it's just, it's refreshing, it's emotional. But the Holy Spirit is not just some emotional one-time thing that you have on Sundays. It is a functioning part of your daily lives. Amen? It is a tool that that should have the most worn-out marks on it, that we use it on a regular daily basis. This morning I was, I carry this in my pocket every Sunday. And the reason why I do that is because I remember my dad. This is one of the ways I do that when I get nervous. I'm going through some things. I just reach in my pocket. I just remember. I'm just focusing on my dad sometimes. I don't know what you do to remember loved ones and stuff like that, but I never preach a message without this in my pocket. I never go hardly anywhere without it. And so this morning I was hunting through the house and I was looking for it and found it. And I've got other knives as well from my stepdad and from his collection. And one of the ones he had was a Swiss Army knife. How many of you guys ever had one of those? Right? It's got, you know, the toothpick in it and the tweezers and the screwdrivers and all that stuff. And it's still in a box. It's pristine. I've never used it. It's sharp. It's still shiny. There's no scuff marks on it. It's not no worn out places from being in my pocket or anything like that. I just never touch it. But this knife, this one that my dad carried for many, many years, he has sharpened it so much that the blade is thinned. You see that? And even on this one too, it's kind of worn, made a U-shape down in there as well. And it's because he used it all the time. Now, this thing could hardly cut butter, all right? And Randy got it to cut tape the other day. I don't know how he did that, but it cut tape. And so, but the Holy Spirit, I said all that to say the Holy Spirit should be as this worn-out pocket knife that I carry around in my pocket, and it's used on a daily basis, giving us wisdom and understanding when we get up in the morning. Holy Spirit, would you just give me wisdom and understanding today? Would you give me compassion today? Would you give me patience for coworkers today? Would you empower me to be a good witness everywhere I go? Amen? It's hard to be a witness in church, isn't it, sometimes? Right? We're all here. We're all doing the same thing. But being a witness is implied going, right, on your daily commute, in your daily lives, when you go home to your family, when you're working, when you're driving, when you're at Walmart, when you're wherever it is that you go, Fleet Farm, it doesn't matter, wherever you go, the Holy Spirit is with you. Our prayer every day should be, Holy Spirit, help me to be a witness today. Amen? And so after they were filled with the Holy Spirit, Acts 2:42 says this. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship. This is the lasting effects of the baptism. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, into bowling nights, into softball games. See, that applies to here and now, right? To the here and now. That's why we do the things that we do. When we say, hey, there's a bowling night coming up, that's fellowship. That's time where we get to know one another. And that time is not just a whopping good time. That is a time for us to get to know one another, encourage one another, and spur one another on, all while we have the bumper things up, right? And bowling. Love it. While we're playing softball, it doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit is applicable in all facets of our lives. And so they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Then skip down to verse 46 and 47. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. So this baptism in the Holy Spirit did something to them in a way they did life together. It changed everything. It deepened their love for God. It deepened their love for His Word. It deepened their love for one another and for the lost. It changed everything. It changed how they lived their lives. So you're no longer a person who just goes to New Freedom Church, but you are a functioning part of the body of Christ. The Bible is no longer a book that sits on our shelves, but it is food for our souls on a regular basis.
Amen?
If you don't, well, Pastor, that book is huge. It's got 66 books in it, and I don't know where to start. Come find me. I will show you, I will teach you how to rightly divide the word of truth. Amen? And so the Holy Spirit changes everything. It changes everything about how we live, about how we read, about how we worship, about how we interact with one another and the lost. And we need to get a fresh revelation today and every day that the baptism of the Holy Spirit isn't just an emotional experience. It's essential for each and every one of our lives. So with that said, it begs the question, how do we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Go with me to Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4. This is what happened on the day of Pentecost. It says this, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, kind of like here. Jesus said, I want you to go into Jerusalem. There's an upper room up there. I want you guys to hang out until you receive the promise from my Heavenly Father, which is the Holy Spirit, okay? And so they're in a gathering, kind of like here and now, and they're worshiping together. And all of a sudden, this is what happens. This is the account. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And we saw that demonstrated this morning when Sandy was speaking in tongues, and there was an interpretation of that. That's called decently and in order. Okay, and so for those that have been paying attention to the summer outreach stuff over there, you see that we need the Holy Spirit to even do these outreaches, to wash cars, to go to City on a Hill. And by the way, if you've never been to City on a Hill, I would, if they're the first person that comes to me and say, I want to go to City on a Hill, I will pay your way. All right, I'll say that. Dana, I'm sorry. All right. First person that comes to me afterwards, I will pay your way personally, because I believe it's that important for you to serve and to be a blessing, all right? And if you can't make that, then we've got outreaches back there, washing cars. We've got movie in the park night coming up. We've got a picnic church-wide that we encourage you to invite all of your family. We do that every Sunday, but this Sunday specifically, because it's a time for your family to see how a church family functions and loves one another. Amen? And so how we receive the Holy Spirit and put it into to action in our lives is by receiving the Holy Spirit. Everywhere the disciples went, they asked the churches along the way, have you received the Holy Spirit? And a lot of the disciples said, we've never heard of the Holy Spirit. We've only received what John had told us, that the baptism into repentance. And so the disciples said, we want you to receive the Holy Spirit, and so would you please stand? And they laid hands on them, and the Bible says that the Holy Spirit came upon them, they spoke in other tongues, and they were filled with the Spirit of God. And so that is the mode of receiving the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit enacts you to operate in power and authority in your life. This is not just a church tool. Man, y'all missed a good opportunity right there. Say amen. This Holy Spirit isn't that pocket knife that I keep in a box that is pristine and has no worn marks or no scratches or scuffs on it. But this tool is meant for us to go outside of the church and be a witness and everything we say and do. Now, does that mean you go down to a park or you stand in one of the roundabouts and you shout up in the air and you preach to every car that passes by? I don't know, maybe. But to be an effective witness means that, for instance, the Apostle Paul was passing by one day and he and Silas were going along their way to a prayer meeting. They're just going along, minding their own business. This lady comes up and is pestering them and said, "Hey, you are a servant of the Most High God." And she just kept saying over and over. First, it's like, cool, thank you for that. But after that, it's over and over and over and over again. She kept saying it. And finally, he turned around and realized what she was operating in was not of God. And he laid hands on her. He cast out that devil, right? And then all of a sudden, they got arrested. But then the story goes even further than that. But even though they were publicly humiliated, publicly whipped and beaten for what they had done, we saw the power of God enacted at about midnight when they were singing and praising God, bound hand and foot, worshiping God. They had all the attention of all the other inmates because they're like, "I don't understand that. They should be like, you know, depressed and crying and hopeless like every one of us. But instead, they've got some kind of hope at midnight, and they've been beaten with an inch of their life. They've been publicly humiliated, and yet they're giving God praise and glory and honor." Now, first, I thank God that as we go about our day, God can use us to speak life and healing into somebody while we're at Fleet Farm, while we're in the line at Bay Beach waiting to get on that new Ferris wheel, right? How many of you guys have been on that Ferris wheel? I can't wait. But while we're waiting, while we're doing our lives, the Spirit of God is with us. It doesn't just happen to come back on us next Sunday, but it is an integral part of our life. It is a well-worn tool that we use on a regular basis because in it is dunamis power. But we don't see ourselves that way. We see ourselves as trying to get through the day, trying to get through this experience, trying to get through this week, trying to get through the work day, ready to clock out. But God is saying, if you will just give me your eyes for a minute, I want you to see people as I see them. If you'll give me your hands for a minute, if you'll clear your schedule, if you'll die to yourself, I want to bless other people with your hands. If you'll give me your feet, just give me your feet for a minute and let me lead and guide and direct you. I will do things with your life that you could never imagine. All through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? It's not this super spooky spiritual thing. Holy Spirit is an essential part of each and every believer's lives. We need to function and flow through it and be faithful while we do it. Amen? Would you stand with me this morning? I make no bones about what drives our church. All these banners represent all of our values, represents what drives us, what motivates us. We build our schedule around all of these things. We've got to say no to a lot of good things in order to be about the right things that God has called us specifically to. In our community, and even though every church is called to their community, it needs to be written on the wall somewhere so that we can see it on a regular basis. It needs to be on our mirrors at home that we are a witness, that we are His witnesses to our family, to our friends, to our community, and that what you have inside of you is able to change somebody's life instantaneously. Not because of who you are, but because of who He is. Amen? Everything that we ask you to sign up for is so that the Holy Spirit, that you would engage the Holy Spirit to be a witness in your life. That Holy Spirit would be in a powerful part of who you are, in your DNA. We did a sand ceremony yesterday, and it was awesome. And both Trevor and Elena, there was a container here, and then there was different colored, was it blue and yellow? Blue and yellow. So I told Trevor, I said, Trevor, I want you to start first, and I want you to pour yours in first. And that represents the husband setting the foundation for his home. And then after that, Elena began to pour in, they began to pour in, and they created this beautiful thing. And it could never be separated. It can never be picked apart, the yellow and the blue, in separate containers again. It's part of who they are. They're no longer these two people, but they are one flesh. And we can no longer be separated from the Holy Spirit than He from us. When we receive that, it is part of who we are. It's not like we have to beg for it every time we get up. It is just present in our lives on a constant basis. But the thing is, we've got to be aware of it, and we've got to enact it in our life. Amen? And so this morning, that's what I want to pray over you, that the Holy Spirit, that you would be keenly aware that the Holy Spirit is alive, acting, and living in your life to be an effective witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. This Holy Spirit isn't just for emotional acrobatic feats, although sometimes that is what happens. Can't predict how people are going to respond when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. But the Holy Spirit is there to give us power. And I love how the author of Acts tries to describe the moment the day of Pentecost happens. I just want to read it one more time. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all gathered in one place. Suddenly, like a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. So as they're praying, it's like there was this huge rush of wind that comes through like a locomotive, sweeping through the place. And he tried to describe what he is seeing, and he said it. I saw what seemed to be tongues of fire, and they were just ablaze, and they were this one particular tongue was just separating and coming to rest over each and every person. That's all I can think that my mind can kind of describe how it's happening here, and that's all I can think of is it's what's going on. And the tongues were on fire, and it separated and it came to rest on each of us. And all of us were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And of course, we know that God had a bigger plan. The day of Pentecost was one of the biggest feasts in the Jewish culture, and all the Jews from all over the place swelled in Jerusalem, and the city swelled to probably three times its normal size. It's kind of like having country USA, right? Everybody comes in for a weekend and it swells. That's kind of what's going on. And so these Jews were coming from all different countries as well, and they were all speaking different languages when they were coming into Jerusalem to celebrate Pentecost, the Feast of Pentecost. And this is what happens. These people that were speaking in different languages heard these unschooled, untrained disciples speaking in their own language. And all of a sudden, God had it set up. This is about being His witness. They were all like, these guys are drunk. What's going on with them? And Peter stood up and he said, these people are not drunk as you say. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. And then he began to share about Jesus. And thousands of people came to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And the church was birthed on the day of Pentecost. Isn't that amazing? And so when God is telling and speaking something to you, He has a bigger picture in mind than just your situation. But your situation, if you're obedient and allowing the Holy Spirit to move and be a part of your life, if you listen and obey in that situation, that's going to be a ripple effect that will pour out into areas that you never thought were possible, touching people you never thought you'd be able to touch. I pray ridiculous prayers. I pray over our church all the time, Lord, may our platform be lined with church planters. May we send them out by the dozens to plant churches in these small communities. God, may we send out missionaries from our church in this industrial park all over the world. And do you know we're doing that? We've sent 3 missionaries from our little church since I've been here. 1 couple currently still in the mission field. We have helped plant churches since I have been here. The Holy Spirit's leading and guiding and directing. We're currently praying over Wrightstown right now that God would send us somebody that wants to plant a church in Wrightstown. And you're like, Pastor, that is nutty. Aren't we trying to raise this ridiculous amount of money for a building? Yep. That's not my problem. When the Holy Spirit asks you to do something, you just do it. You just pray. And trust me, I'm like you. I'm like, look, Lord, please, like one thing at a time, all right? Nope, I got it. I've got this. And constantly, He is meeting the need. He is meeting the need. I pray prayers over you all the time. Lord, if you've been in a weird situation this week, it's because your pastor prayed for that. Just let that sink in. I claim that. And it's because I pray that you would be a light into wherever you go, that the Spirit of God that is in you would affect every person that you come in contact with. And I said, Lord, give them a divine opportunity to speak into somebody's life this week. And so with that, would you bow your heads? We're going to pray. Today, I don't know everybody here. And maybe there is somebody here today that doesn't know Jesus. And if you want to know Christ today, you can get to know Him. And it all starts with repentance. Lord, forgive me. Come into my life. I receive You. I die to myself today. May You be the Lord of my life. That's how it starts. And so, if you're here today and you're like, Pastor, that's me, I want to receive Jesus, then let's do this morning. Let's all pray together. Help me pray. Father God, I come to You this morning and I repent of my sins. I receive You as Lord of my life. I die to myself and I receive You today. I am Yours. If you prayed that prayer this morning, it is as simple as that. That you have confessed your sins, and the Bible says that He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And if you prayed that prayer this morning, I want you to come forward afterwards, and we've got people here on our prayer team that want to pray with you. And this is the other thing, is that I'm going to pray that God would just begin to fill you with the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit this morning, right where you are. Would you do this? Those that just want to receive, maybe you just need a fresh filling this morning, would you raise your hands? And we're just going to be in a receiving mode this morning. I'm just going to pray over you. And then after I pray over you, I'm going to dismiss. And then if you need prayer, I want you to come forward. Our prayer team is going to pray over you and believe God with you. And so let's do that. Father, we're coming before You just like in the book of Acts. Matter of fact, Acts chapter 2, 1, 4. We are all gathered here in one place, worshiping together. And Lord, we ask right now, I ask, Father, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, to fill each and every person with your Holy Spirit and power. May they receive dunamis power from on high, that power that is able to cause them to overcome, to receive healing, to receive restoration, to restore peace in their mind, peace in their heart, peace in their family, in the name of Jesus. And Father, may you begin to give them power to be your witness. Father, put them in situations where your light shines within them. Father, let them be the representative of hope. Let them be the difference in their workplace. Let them be the difference. Let our spirit be keenly aware of the hurting all around us. And as we have opportunity, let us do good. Let us go forth and bring healing. Let us go forth and bring salvation. Let us go forth and bring repentance. Let us go forth and be that light of Christ. So Holy Spirit, I ask you to flood this place. Fill us anew. Fill us fresh. Fill our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So Father, we receive that Holy Spirit now. Lord, we lift you up and give you all the glory and all the praise this morning in the name of Jesus. Can you give God a hand clap of praise this morning? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. May the Holy Spirit be that worn out pocket watch or knife that I have in my pocket that I use every single day. May he be the first thing you reach for in the morning and the last thing you reach for at night. Amen. Listen, thank you guys so much for being here at New Freedom Church. I appreciate you being here. If you're new here today, go in the back. We want to connect with you. If you need prayer about anything, we have folks right here that will pray and believe God for you this morning and with you. Amen. Amen. Listen, God bless you guys. Enjoy each other's company before you leave. Get signed up for stuff in the back. Be active because what you have, others need. All right? God bless you guys. You are dismissed this morning. Thank you so much for being here today.